That's so corny, it's funny. Okay, here's an oldie but goldie. A couple of rednecks are out in the woods hunting. One of them falls to the ground, and he doesn't seem to be breathing, and his eyes roll back in his head. The other guy whips out his cell phone and calls 911. The panic stricken, he says to the operator, "I think Cletus is dead. What should I do?" An operator in a calm, soothing voice says, "Just take it easy. I can help. First, let's make sure he's dead." Then there's a long silence, then a shot rings out. Then the redneck comes back online and says, "Okay, now what?" No, they were corny, but they were good. That's good and corny. Amen. That was popcorn corny. All right, here we go. We started this a couple weeks ago before the storm. And, of course, we're going to finish it up today. Just an advertisement, have you ever met somebody that just grated your nerves? Don't you say I'm sitting beside them. No. Have you ever met somebody that just grated your nerves and you wondered, how in the world am I supposed to put up with this person? Because I can't necessarily get away from them because I am kin to them or I work with them or something. So next week, we're going to talk about how to get along with somebody you can't stand. Okay, that's the redneck version. It's going to be how to get along with people, okay? So next week, if you know somebody, you're going to figure out how to get along, you go ahead and be here next week. God's going to do something special. I believe it. Get your Bible out. Turn to Psalm 150. Psalm 150. You can't miss it. Get in Psalms and go to the very last book. Stand for the reading of the Word. God is so good. All the time, God is good. All right. Psalm 150. Remember, every time you see "praise you to the Lord," I want you to say it, okay? And I want you to say "praise Him." Praise Him. Every time you see "praise," I want you to say it out loud, okay? Ready? Ready? "Praise ye the Lord." Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him in the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon loud cymbals. Praise Him upon high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I want you to put your hands up, and I want you to lift your voices up, and I want you to praise Him right now. Come on. Go ahead. Praise Him. Think of what He's done for you. Think about how He went and got you when you weren't looking. Think about how He delivered you when you couldn't deliver yourself. Think about the times He stepped in when you were getting ready to step out. God, praise you, God. Go ahead and praise Him again, church. Come on. Let's hear some praise. Glory! Yes! Yes. All right, you can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. I dare you. Tell them. All right. All right, we're going to just go through a few slides to bring us up to speed of what's going on, then we're going to jump into the rest of it. Amen? All right. There's something about praise. Praise is different than any other vehicle you can use to get to God. Amen? Praise is just something that nothing else does. Praise is unique. Praise is powerful. Praise is wonderful. So let's just talk about praise for a minute. First, we see that it's powerful. It never leaves the situation the same. Now, is it powerful? It is also positive. It's hard to praise and pout at the same time. Somebody say amen. It's a predictor. It effectively predicts the outcome of your situation more than anything, and it's productive because it can do what nothing else can do. When we begin to praise God, the situation will change. But let me tell you something, the situation will change, but the situation won't change as much as you will. Amen? So here it is. What's the power that's behind it? We plug into focus. Amen? It gets our focus off ourselves and gets our focus back on God. When we get our eyes on self, hurt is magnified. When we get our eyes on Him, help is magnified. And hope is magnified. And God is glorified. Amen? When you get your eyes off what you're going through, how many's going through something? Everybody should raise your hand. We've all got something we're going through. But guess what? If you can learn to praise Him instead of complaining, guess what happens? Remember, you may still hurt, but God will do something special in the middle of it because He is worthy. And I do mean worthy of our praise no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through. He is worthy. Amen. Somebody go ahead and say yes. Well, come on, y'all. Wake up. Come on. Yes. Amen. You know, we had a bad time in the storm, and there were some bad things happening. Some of us went without power for days, some for weeks. But listen, what about those Bahamas? Amen. They were flat, and it looks like an atomic bomb was dropped on the Bahamas. You know, we need to help them as much as we can, but at the same time while we're helping them, remember this, praise God, that could have been us. I thank God that He spared us. Amen? So watch. Get your eyes off yourself and back on God. Number two, it brings us to a place of humility. Because you remember, you are dependent on God. And I know I need Him. I know every day of my life I need God. Somebody say it. I need God. Somebody else say it. I need God. Amen? And when we praise Him, we acknowledge that. Amen? As we praise Him as Creator and King of the world. Amen? So this is all from the last sermon. I'm going to end with this last slide, and we're going into the new stuff. Now, not only do you plug into power, you plug into force. Because watch this. It makes the enemy flee. You try praising God in the middle of your worst time, and you'll see something. Something happens that doesn't happen any other way. It pushes back the enemy. It pushes back the darkness that surrounds you. When you start praising God, God will fight your battles for you. Next, it leaves no room for complaining and negativity. When you're praising God, guess what? Things start to happen. I learned this early in life. When I praise God, things start to happen. Amen? So it makes the enemy flee. It leaves no room for complaining or negativity. And it reminds us of what He has already done in our lives. Whatever He has done, He'll do it again. Somebody say He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Amen. All right, so here we go. We're starting fresh now. Ready? Get ready. I love this. You can't make God move in your life, but you can make room for God to move in your life. Wow, I'm going to leave that right there for a second. You can't make God move in your life, but you can make room for God to move in your life. Wow, that's just such a powerful, powerful, powerful statement. Praise makes room for God's blessings in our lives. If you can find a way, I can think of some times when the hurt, and I know I talk about it all the time, but I can't help it because it's the freshest in my mind. And I live it all the time, but I can remember being in the cancer unit, and I remember some nights, Bethany, when we went to sleep that night, there would be one guy on this side, there'd be a lady on this side, and the next morning I'd get up, and those rooms were empty. And they wouldn't say anything. I knew what had happened in the middle of the night. They had died. Or there were certain people, and when I woke up, there was other people in these rooms because the others had died. And I remember the feeling of helplessness. And I remember walking through the hall, and I could hear the flesh, and I could hear Satan saying, "One of these days, that's going to be you and Bethany." I remember walking through the hall, and I say, "You know what? When it's her time, she's ready to go, and God will take her. But until then, she's not going anywhere. And I praise you, God." And I'd walk the halls, just praise God, and praise God, and praise God and praise God, because I decided I was going to make room for blessings versus listening to the enemy just keep beating me over the head about how bad things were. When you do this, he won't hold back his goodness, because your praise, listen, your praise opens the gateway of blessings. Listen carefully. Your praise opens the gateway of blessings. And God wants so bad to bless us. Amen. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. The Bible also says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. So make room. Let's go, look at somebody and say, make room. Make room. Tell them, make room. Make room for God to move. Somebody say, make room for God to move. Come on, y'all. That's right. Here's your chance to holler. Here's your chance to get it out of your system. Make room for God to move. Somebody else do that. Make room for God to move. Amen. So glory. Amen. So watch this. I love it. See that king's invitation? Praise invites his presence. The Bible says God dwells. I love this. He dwells close to us when we praise him, because he lives there and he looks for it. I hear people all the time say, well, I can't find God. I haven't heard from him in months. I can't find him. You know what? The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. That word inhabits means it builds a throne. When the Chinese were translating the Bible, they couldn't find a word for inhabits other than it builds a throne for the king to sit on. Wow. When we begin to praise him, it'll do it. Remember, it does what nothing else can do. You can't complain and get in his presence. You can't get all upset and get in his presence, but you can praise and guarantee you will get in his presence. So here we go. Y'all say amen. All right. Well, look. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should know, you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Next. Wow. You ever felt like that? Don't raise your hand, but do you feel like that now? Look up there. Dry and cracker juice. It needs God to do something so bad in your life. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's not somebody here right now that you said, God, I'm ready to throw in the towel. I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't understand. I'm going to stop right here and throw something in. I want to do this as a sermon, and I will later on. I was talking to a minister friend of mine this week, and he was talking about transitions in his life. And he said in one place he was just as happy as a lark, but God began to do some transitions in his life. And where he's at now in his life, he's not feeling the move of God, and he's in the dark place. And he doesn't quite understand. And I told him what I'm telling you right now. He said, I feel useless. I feel vulnerable. And I feel like nothing I can do can change it. And I said, I want you to remember a story. He said, what's that? I said, Matthew 14. I said, they just fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. If it had been in North Carolina, if they had 5,000, it would be with the equivalent of 5 buttermilk biscuits and 2 chicken legs. See if y'all are listening. Told somebody the other day that said, I ate something and I put some chicken and pastry on a plate and they were saying, I said, this is the best stuff. I said, it's got to be in heaven. It's going to be the first things in the marriage supper land. He says, why you said that? I said it because if Moses had been a southerner, that'd have been manna. Chicken and pastry. So they saw this miracle take place. Jesus, after using them, and took up 12 basketfuls from a little boy's lunch. That's powerful. But God knew that it was test time for them. Not only was it test time for them, they had to learn not to follow him for the loaves and the fishes, but to follow him because he's the Son of God. So he puts them in a boat. And when he puts them in a boat, he goes up on the mountain to pray. They don't know where he's at. And in the middle of the night, here's these experienced fishermen feeling like they're going to die. They're vulnerable. They're in a dark place. With, with all of their skill, with all of their ability, they can't control the situation. It's dark. And they begin to cry out in fear. So there was even some mass hysteria going on in the dark place where you're vulnerable. And you can't see or feel God. And in the middle of the night, at the worst possible situation, it was too scary to try to go back. They were too far to go back. But it was scary to go forward because they had no idea what was waiting for them. Jesus come walking on the water. Of course, we know the story about Peter walking on the water with them. We're not going to that part. When he gets back in the boat, it calms down, and they're at the other side. That dark, vulnerable, helpless place where it seemed like you were going to die was the vehicle God used, not for them to stay there, but to get them from one place to another. And some of y'all right now, please listen. Some of y'all are in the dark place that you can't hear God. You don't see God. You feel vulnerable. You're full of fear. You're full of fright, even hysteria. Know this. This is not permanent. This is a vehicle that God's using to test you, to prove you. And you just left awesome stuff. You're getting ready to see more awesome stuff coming. But you have to have this along the way to prepare you for what's coming. Don't give up now. Do not give up now. Jesus is walking on the water. Don't give up now. So, revive us again. Look at this. Our spirits are refreshed and renewed in His presence. We're strengthened. Think about this. We're strengthened by His peace and refueled by His joy through the heart of praise. 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 You remember me, Tim? I've told this story 1,000 times. I'm at work and we have a shared toolbox and I'm working on a piece of equipment and I've just been kind of reaching out behind me and working in my tool tray, getting stuff out. And while I go to go in that toolbox, somebody come up and was working the toolbox too and they pulled the top tray out just a little bit. And when I reached in with my fingers on top of the tray like this to pull it out where I could get to another tool, it caught all my fingers in the toolbox, in the tool tray on top of it. And it skinned every finger I had. Not only did it skin it, there was blood. It hurt. And I pulled back, and I couldn't believe it. I wanted to say, what dummy left the drawer open? But the Lord spoke to me and said, praise me. And I said, I'm arguing with the Lord now. I don't feel like it. I want to hurt somebody. And he said, praise me anyhow. And I said, but I don't feel like it. He said, it's not about you. It's about everybody around you. They see what happens. Now they're waiting to see what you're going to do. And so I stopped and said, praise God! And I began to praise God. Not only did my fingers start feeling better, the blood was still there. The skin was still pulled back. But I felt better about the whole situation. And somebody went to me and said, you know, if that had been me, I'd have cussed out everybody in this shop. Somebody would have said, if that had been me, I would have hurt somebody. And they said, but we can tell that God's with you because you praise God instead of hurting anybody. And I found out why that praise was for somebody else. Amen? So let's look. Realize He doesn't always change our situations, but through our problems, He changes our hearts. Remember, on the sea, God changed their hearts because when He climbed in the boat, they said, truly, You are the Son of God. See, they didn't need He said, I want to get your eyes off the miracle and get your eyes on me. And the only way to get your eyes on the miracle, it's kind of like, who's ever actually done some tasting, really, really done tasting for a chef? And what they do is after they give you some food, they give you something else to cleanse your palate. You know what I'm talking about? So that way it won't mess up the food taste or the next time you taste it. And so they cleanse your palate. What God was doing with that boat was he was cleansing their palate. All they can think about is the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now they're thinking about they're going to die. And God's cleansing their palate for the next miracle. Get ready. Something's going. In his presence is fullness of joy. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Getting ready to close. Somebody say amen. Who are those guys? Paul and Silas. The Bible tells us praise paves a way for God's power to be displayed, for miracles to take place. When we begin to praise God, it's just like that toolbox. When we praise, it affects everybody around us. It makes such a big difference when we praise when we could be pouting, when we praise when we could be arguing, when we praise when we could be aggravated. God shakes things up when we begin to praise. Amen? So watch. And Paul and Silas sang in prison, shackled, but they were praising God. Praise moved God. God moved heaven and earth. It's in the earthquake. And that power moved hearts. The jailer and all his family were saved. Wow. And at midnight, at the worst possible time, Paul and Silas, at the very worst possible time in their life, they sang, prayed, and sang hymns to God. They just praised him and praised him and praised him. And the Bible says the prisoners were listening to them. And it meant when they listened with expectation. They've heard people cry out. They've heard people die. They've heard all this stuff. They've heard the sound of the axe going against the throat. They've heard all this stuff, but they have never heard praise in that prison. Man, some of you right now need to realize some people around you need to hear that praise. And if you will praise, it's amazing what will happen. You'll get breakthrough. God desires to show his power through your storm. Getting ready to close. Y'all say amen. Matter of fact, if y'all start praising him, I'll close faster. Oh, y'all want me to keep on going? Okay, here we go. Okay. We have a choice every day in our life. We can live absorbed in worry and stress, focused on what's surrounding us. That's your choice. I choose not to. I choose to focus on God and on his words. Sometimes things don't happen as fast as you want. Sometimes things may take years to happen. But if you will trust God, it will happen. We have a choice. Are you going to be absorbed in yourself and in worry and stress? Or are you going to praise God? We can ask God to help us take our eyes off of all the problems, all the mess, all the stress, the voices of others, and look up and hold one who holds it all together. How many know this? God desires your whole heart. He longs for us to know the power of his presence. He desires to bless us more than we ever could imagine. And his spirit keeps calling us on and on and on. We're all going to do something right now. You ain't got to get up yet, but get ready. Come on, here we go. Y'all say, dear Lord, dear God, hear my cry. Get ready. Let's say this together. That means everybody at one time. Ready? We praise you today with our heart and songs. We praise you for your faithfulness. We praise you for your great power and love. We confess our need for you. Our lives don't go so well when we just spin around on our own. We struggle and worry and get weary and worn. Yet you never leave us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your care over us. Thank you that you breathe renewal right into our souls. We ask for your spirit to fill us, to draw us close to yourself, and to work your purposes through us as we set our eyes on you. Now, did you mean that prayer? When you enter God's presence with praise, He enters your circumstances with power. The disciples didn't focus on the crucifixion. Their focus was on the resurrection. Let me ask you a question today. What are you focusing on? The problems or the solution? The crucifixion or the resurrection? Are you in that boat right now and you're in the middle of the sea and there's nothing you can do? It's pure darkness. You don't hear God. You don't see God. You can't even see your people in front of you. Everything's just so dark, vulnerable, scared, and can't figure out what to do next. If you can find a way to praise Him in the storm, something special will happen. I want everybody to stand. Everybody stand. BJ, I want you to come play the piano. BJ, come on up here. DC, you want to come back him up? You're going to play the piano? If you're going to play the piano, Jeff, you want to come play the keyboard too? We get all of y'all. Come on. Y'all see if y'all can pull this thing off here. Jeff, this is BJ. BJ, this is Jeff. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're about praised out, you've praised and you praised and you praised and you expected God to do something. And honestly, you're like that boat in the middle of the sea. It's still dark. You still feel helpless and vulnerable. God's got this. But if you've about praised out, and you're even wondering, God, I've praised, I haven't seen anything. I wonder if it's even worth it. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Nobody looking around. If I'm talking to you right now, you tried. And you're at a standstill. And you can't stand it. You're needing God to do something. But you don't even feel like praising right now. The pain is too real. The hurt is too great. Would you lift that hand? Lift that hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I'm about praised out. Bless them, Lord. I'm about praised out. It's okay. Bless Him, Lord. I've praised Him. I praised Him in the storm. I hadn't seen any calm. It just keeps getting deeper and deeper. And God, I need You. Right now, God, I ask You to touch everybody lifting their hands, those that wanted to and didn't. Those that may not even need to raise their hand now, but may need to raise their hand tomorrow. Let them know that this is not the end. This is the beginning. This is the test that's moving you toward a great testimony. This is when You, God, will show them Your timing and Your grace and Your power and Your anointing. I ask You right now, Lord, to let them know. Let them feel it right now. I know we don't go by feelings, but let them feel it right now. Your power and Your grace flush and rush through their lives. God, You're awesome. You are powerful. There is nothing greater than You, and I thank You for that. Maybe you're here right now and you're just stressed. You believe what I've been preaching. You've been doing what I've been preaching, but you're still stressed. You're not giving out a praise, but you may have given out a hope because it doesn't seem to be changing. God's got you. God's got you. God's got you. If I'm talking to you right now, you're needing God just to show up in a real powerful way right now. Step in and do what you cannot do with nobody looking around, every eye shut, every head bowed. Would you put that hand up? I need God to show up strong in my life. Yes, 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 yes. Father, right now, show up strong. Lord, you're able. You're able. I want everybody to pray this with me. God, I lift my hands by faith to you. I choose to not walk by feelings, but to walk by faith. I know that you've got this. I give it to you, every bit of it, in the name of Jesus. It's yours. Help me, God, to continue to stand strong, even if I don't feel you, even if I don't see you. For I know you have not left me, and I thank you for it now, in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, if you have a need from God this morning, the altars are open. I know we've already prayed, but if you have a need, the altars are already open. They're open and ready to go. See that arm? It's right here. Yeah. No. Stephen is standing in for Kitty. For y'all that don't know, Kitty had all this surgery and all this metal put in her arm. She fell Tuesday night. And the metal was stuck out about an inch out of her arm. All that work that they did on it's coming apart. And she needs a miracle. Her arm is in bad shape. And so Stephen's standing in behalf of Kitty. That's why I was putting an anointing oil on his arm. Y'all all put your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that Stephen, Lord, has that desire to come stand in for Kitty. Ask you right now, Lord, to bless her, to let her know, God, that you've got this, that she's going to be fine. In the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And we thank you, God, for touching that arm and healing it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, 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 amen. We share as we tarry there. No other has ever known. Isn't God good? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Those guys sound great. Y'all guys sound really, 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 really good. Amen. God's got this. Somebody say it. God's got this. That's right. Brother Doug, will you dismiss it here? Will you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this message which you've given us. Lord, we thank you that you inhabit our praises. And Lord, if we feel like we're slipping and falling away from you, Lord, remind us to praise your name, that you will be with us. Be with us now as we go forth in your name, that we would share your blessings with all those we come in contact with, that all those that see us will know that we are your children. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.